that has big time camp. What the movie will be the ultimate champ. You might be finger crazy, my finger diseased, but do you watch another chance to find the best of this?
We rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
It's Stan, Gene, Jack and Nick who watch it till it's finished, because the love for this movie can be diminished. And make the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's a part of charm.
Colin Brad is off the season.
It's low budget film that is most true. They find a flick that monster boogaloo.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Yuck Mala! Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, I am 8th Dan Stanadu, and I am happy to be with you today to welcome you to Season 11 of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. This one is Enter the Octagon. And this is our crazy concept that that good old Jack came up with. Speaking of Jack, say hello, Jack.
What's up, Stan?
Well, you know.
You said say hello, Jack.
I'm sorry. It's Enter the Octagon, where we each put a movie in to represent a season we want to do. And the movie that scores highest over the course of the season will be next year's season. We'll be doing that. And last time, I thought I had this in the bag with Budget Boogaloo. And turns out that your concept from last time with Miami Connection, One Shit Wonder, is going to be tough to beat now.
It is going to be hard to beat. That's
four
for
movies
sure.
left, though. Let's see what happens.
Yep.
Still well. No goddamn hello.
Oh, and hello.
All right. And speaking of hello, we have Nick Boxer.
Greetings and spookifications.
Spookulations. And then, of course, we have James Cotta.
Hello, Jack. If he's not going to say hello, Jack, I'll say hello, Jack.
Oh, there you go. Excellent.
That's... I was going to say hello to you. Hello, Jim. Caught me off guard there.
Talk amongst yourselves. It's all good. We're fine. So the movie that we are talking about today is from the season called Don't Go in the Woods, Don't Go in the Water. The movie is Spookies from 1986. Jack is going to describe the Don't Go in the Woods, Don't Go in the Water concept.
Yeah, well, basically the concept for that season would be you would pick one movie that would take place in or feature a creature from the woods and take place in and feature a creature from water. Because when I think of the places where there's been the most boogaloo in cinema history, I kind of think of water and woods as the top two places, though space and well, basically, you can find boogaloo everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
The boogaloo is inside you all the time.
Boogaloo is.
It's a feeling.
It's like the force.
Yeah. It binds us together.
Yeah.
All right. And now, the best part of the whole show.
Oh, Nick dude, I'm going to settle in.
All right. Get comfortable.
Yeah.
Nick Boxer, tell us what Spookies is all about.
I wish I knew. I really, really do. A bunch of what I'm guessing are teenagers played by
40-year-olds.
Very old actors and a businessman trying to get his dick wet go out in search of a party.
He's also supposed to be a teenager.
Okay, it's really hard to tell ages in this.
He's gray haired.
We will come back to this quickly. Just try to keep going with the summary.
they go out in search of a party, but get lost on the back roads of what I think is Louisiana, but obviously filmed in upstate New York or something. I have no idea. But they happen upon an abandoned house in the middle of a graveyard and decide, hey, you know what's a great idea? Let's go in. Once they're in, obviously, you know, zombies are going to attack or something or other. And There's a guy also appearing in the house that seems to control the zombies, but not really. And there's a guy in blackface running around, not really killing people, but looking in windows and masturbating while zombies kill things.
You mean the werecat is the guy you're calling in blackface? Because he's not in blackface. He's a werecat.
Where did you get that?
I didn't get that. I didn't get the blackface either, though, so I guess it was...
I believe that Wikipedia actually calls it a werecat.
It's a werecat. Don't you remember when he's with the guy who controls the house? He's like on his lap and he's calling him his kitten?
Huh. All right, fair enough.
Because remember, all werecats have hooks for hands. That's just
that's common.
The way it works.
Man. Oh yeah, if I had noticed the hooks for hands, that would have that would have cued me in.
So these extremely old teenagers run from room to room, acting according to the best horror movie logic they can summon, and one by one they face their doom. Or not.
Dum, dum, not. Dum.
What? Dum, dum, dum.
What actually happens to the last, like, three of them?
You're not supposed to think about that. They have the two separate stories.
So, I think I blinked and missed what happened to, like, the last
nothing happens to them. They don't have an ending to them.
They just disappear with, like, 15 minutes. Here's the reason why.
Here's the background on this. So this is a movie called Twisted Souls. And they filmed this movie. And that's everything in the middle, basically. Everything with those characters, the teenagers, who are in their, you know, late 60s to early 80s. Everything with them was in a movie called Twisted Souls. And most of those special effects and whatever. And then they ran out of money and there was creative differences. And months later, the executive producer hired somebody else and different actors to come in. Filmed a different, like the rumor is it was a completely different movie edited together. It's not. They filmed those sequences to put into it, but they couldn't bring back the original cast, and that storyline wasn't wrapped up. So instead they had the other storyline and were hoping to distract you by the fact that they sort of wrapped that up.
So all the stuff with like the guy and like the old werecat. Guy and the werecat.
The werecat, the bride, the kid, the 13-year-old kid.
Oh, okay, so all that stuff
was filmed to make this a different movie, but put it with that movie, thinking that they had a tight enough script that they had written to tie it all together.
So as with many times on this show, with the kinds of movies, sometimes we fill in our own blanks as we're watching. I didn't actually think they were teenagers because there's one line where the character is with like the oldest one of the people, the oldest guy, says, "I can't believe I used to hang around with these people." So I thought they were all going to some kind of reunion, like because they didn't all seem to know each other. It's like the women knew each other, but the guys didn't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was
the guy dressed like Michael Jackson, I thought, really screamed teenager. You know, the plastic belly shirt really sort of...
Really? Not the guy in the suit jacket and the tie? That wasn't the guy?
See, because that was
the balding guy?
I don't know if I can support it with content from the film, but the way I read it was is that the women knew each other. They were all going to some kind of party. And the guy is like, you know, he's just the older boyfriend or husband of the woman.
He could be the older boyfriend and he's still teenager. I don't know. I know is I assumed that they were all going to the birthday party for the boy, but it had nothing to do with that.
Heck no.
Nothing. No, they were not supposed to go to the
No, that plot line was abandoned way early.
Yeah, that he got buried alive and he's out, done. Zip, zero, zilch.
But I was going on the same theory there, Jim. For a little bit, but the woman with the really bad British, I think, accent threw that theory off.
It was
off
just upper crass. I think class.
Upper crass.
Mid-Atlantic. Is that what that's what they used to call that? Mid-Atlantic when it was like halfway between an American and a British accent.
Yeah.
Okay, but it was not. I mean, it was not anything recognizable anyway. So.
No, I was wondering why they had her accent And then you had the New York accent when they grew up apparently together. Like, I was trying to place the accents. I'm like, you have completely different accents that are dialects, you know, or region specific, and yet you all grew up together. I don't know.
So Jack, you explained that, like, you had one movie that wasn't quite there, the second movie that was kind of Frankenstein onto it to make it work. Why are there then three credited directors? listed directors.
because that middle part had two directors.
Two people. All right, this will show up in the score.
That's part of the reason why there was creative differences.
I think that's the first question I had marked down in my notes was, like, why are these people together? So apparently my guess was as good as anyone else's.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Oh yeah, because when you start watching this movie and you see the boy and who goes into the creepy old house from the graveyard after running away. And he thinks, like, for one thing, I'm thinking, okay, wow, you're the dumbest kid in the universe if you think your parents just set up.
I did too. I thought this was the dumbest kid of all time. And then I realized he might be the smartest character in the movie.
Well, yes. Because to think that, like, I walked into a creepy house in the middle of a graveyard. There's a bunch of birthday celebration stuff there. And I'm like, oh. My parents did remember my birthday. They just put it way out here in the creepy house in the graveyard.
Oh, I just remembered. Wasn't there the scene with the Ouija board where she asks it, how old am I? And it says 24. And then it said, when am I going to die? 24.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
not quite. So
there's actually information inside that they're not teenagers. Okay.
Or at least some of them aren't. Or I don't know. Still don't explain why the one guy's, you know, clearly 100.
Significantly older than the rest, yes.
Yeah. Midlife crisis. Like, he's just found a young woman. I don't think that is the part of the movie that I find unbelievable.
Well, really? And again, when it comes to the boy, you know, and wrapping up his storyline as he gets knocked into the grave and he's, like, still flailing around and he kicks, like, you know, half an inch of dirt on him. And that constituted buried alive. I'm like, just sit up.
Yeah, I was kind of like, you know, you could stand. I mean, you didn't get knocked unconscious.
Dude, if I'm that kid's parents though, because eventually they throw the dirt right in his face and right in his mouth, and I'm not saying this is Heaven's Gate where they just for cruelty where they just like, we need to blow up a horse, blow up a real horse and film it. But but it's pretty damn hardcore. Like, if I'm that kid's parents, I'm like, dude, the kid's getting tortured. There's dirt being thrown in his face. He's in his mouth. He's screaming. Like, that was not acting. That kid was uncomfortable.
His method, that kid. I
when yeah, they but you heard that kid talk. I mean, he was annoying as hell.
That's true. If he
right. I mean, if I had to spend any time with that kid, I might have, like, you know, thrown dirt in his face as well. That'd be his prayer. His parents might have enjoyed that.
Right up to the time they buried him, I thought he was the main character.
Oh, absolutely.
I really, really felt like that was...
And his story, I mean, that whole storyline right off the top is disposable. It doesn't ever come back in at all, does it?
No. There's no reason for it. None. But they need to fill in some time.
And the kid at the end of the film is a different kid than that, right?
There's no kid at the end of the film.
Yeah. Well, right. zombies come out. I mean,
but... the old man and the wife's son. That's what you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a totally different
one.
Kid.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's hard to keep the finger on all of the. I think one of the things I found fascinating about this movie is, because he doesn't control zombies. He controls, like, six different kinds of monsters over the course of this film. It is like a potpourri of monsters. Carol, who uses the Ouija board, becomes a deadite, essentially. There's those weird slug-like ones with, like, just they just got arms and, like, a slug body, like a mini Jabba the Hutt with
tentacles. Yeah, I was going to call them couch monsters because they all hide under the... couch. Between and I thought they were slugs as well, but they got lizard tails, so.
Yeah, that and the woman, that fight between that and the woman with the Atlantic accent was like cinema's greatest peak, wasn't it?
That was terrifying.
Well, I actually couldn't believe how incompetent this movie was, but the monsters looked freaking good.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Until they moved.
I think some of them were really good. Yeah.
What I really dug about that scene is that the two monsters, I don't know that there actually were two. I think it's the same. Monster maquette or whatever that was being used twice, because I couldn't keep track of how many there were. Like, are there, okay, there's two of them. No,
or
there's
where
three.
They were.
No, they're back to two. Yeah. I think it's two. I'm going to stick with two. And then there's the weird spider thing at the end. That was really cool. I like that.
Yeah. Wow, that was right out of the thing.
Yeah. It reminded me of the thing. Not quite as good, obviously, but yeah.
Really, like, I went with Gremlins 2 on that one. So. obviously coming at this from different perspectives.
I went with Return of the King, which totally ripped off this
movie. Completely. This movie is heavily influenced, I think, that middle part at least, is obviously heavily influenced by Evil Dead. Like, to me, that's what I was thinking watching it, was they were trying to make an Evil Dead, and who knows if they had ever been able to finish the story. I still don't think they would have made an Evil Dead, but still.
Seems unlikely, because I don't think they had anyone on their cast that was anywhere near Bruce. Yeah, it's like Bruce Campbell.
I thought you were going to say remotely likable.
Oh, well, that's fair.
that too. Also we were fair, really lacking in anyone to kind of hang on to as a...
I will give a dollar to anyone who can name anyone from the main cast. Any names used in the film. Come on. Yeah.
But in fairness, I can't do that for Rogue One either. No. that's not really. So the old guy who's kind of running things, runs the house. He's
type. The warlock.
Yeah.
This
would have played in the Magic season. It was funny because he's clearly in old age makeup.
Oh man, so poorly.
Waiting
so.
For him to de-age, and he doesn't.
I know.
well, and again, that's the other part that was filmed. Like all of those effects, as a general rule, except for I think the kind of the cemetery grave thing that kind of, I don't know, pulsates. Mm. That's the only thing that looked good in that other part that they filmed. Yeah. Like all that makeup and all that stuff looks pretty crappy.
the old age makeup on him was awful. It was flat out awful. But I'm exactly with you, Jim. Like I was like, oh, he's wearing old age makeup. So there's obviously going to be a point near the end where he de-ages back to normal. And it's like, no, they just felt like hiring a guy who was young instead of finding it. They should have just swapped him with the older gentleman and rolled with that.
That would have been easier, wouldn't it? But no, they couldn't bring that guy back.
Yeah.
I love that guy's voice. He had this. He sounded like Bane from Dark Knight Rises.
Well, and it
but with a German accent.
It took me forever to try to figure out if that was just really shitty filmmaking or if they were actually intending to make his voice sound like it was run through an effect. And then I finally realized, yes, they are trying to make it sound like it was run through an effect. But then again, a lot of the early audio was really awful. So it was like, I don't know what's going on here. This sounds really bad. You know, eventually you come to the conclusion that, okay, yes, he's run through an effect for some unknown silly reason. But that seems pretty consistent with this movie for it's being done for some unknown silly reason.
For some unknown reason, yeah. I mean, those two, I mean, they literally thought that they could get their start. I mean, the concept of the movie, the original Twisted Souls, was we think we can make something scary and we're going to throw up more sort of scary and we're going to throw more monsters per minute at you than any other movie. That was the concept.
Fair enough.
Which I'm totally down with.
Yeah.
Twisted Souls is a better, probably a better title than the one we got. Do we have a story on why Spookies was,
I don't know. No.
Okay. No, I think it's a horrible title unless they were trying to cash it. Like when we had the kid at the beginning, I thought, okay, they're trying to cash in on like Goonies and, you know, all those kids movies. But then the kid is no longer in the movie and we got these old teenagers running around and something. And it's like, okay, Spookies does not fit this title at all.
No, but Ghoulies was out there and things like that, and I think they were just trying to capitalize on that kind of.
It's a different type of movie entirely. So.
Oh yeah. Well, this is a different type of movie from everything. Like, seriously. I mean, I was thinking to myself, what are the weirdest movies? My three weirdest movies I thought we had seen. I probably would have said number three was Elves, and I think this is weirder than Elves. And then I don't know that it's weirder than Tales from the Undead Zone or Quadead Zone, I guess, is it?
Quadead.
Yeah, I don't know that it's weirder than Tales from the Quadead Zone or Wolf Guy, but I think it's weirder than Elves.
I would disagree, but
It's for me, I would disagree too, because I feel like it's taking too many elements from other things. I accept the fact that they're trying to jam it all together, but it feels way more like a rehash of other things as opposed to anything.
You add some elf and incest in here, and
then you're
maybe there's incest in both Elf and Wolf Guy. I mean, that's definitely, if you throw an incest and you know.
And yeah. I think both those movies had Nazis as well, so this doesn't even chart.
Incest and Nazis both are like.
I don't
huge
think Wolf Guy had Nazis, did it?
No, I don't. I did. No.
Either there way. Was a lot going on in it's a Wolf weird Guy, man.
Yeah, there was.
Game there work. Could have been, and we just didn't notice.
Nice.
No, it's or like remember.
Back to this movie.
This does have a Ouija board, which I like is automatic points for me. And they get anytime, and they make their own Ouija board because the other one was copyrighted at the time. So they have to make their own. Like, I'd love that when they pull it out, one of the guys says, "It looks like some kind of weird Parcheesi."
It's the way I feel about the movie. It's like some sort of weird Parcheesi.
Accurate, yeah. Yeah. So I got to say, at this point, I mean, if you really want the trivia of this movie, there's an incredible article and interview with the people behind this movie on The Dissolve, and it's long, but it's unbelievable. It's so amazing. The story, and they talk about it, the story behind the movie is so much more interesting than the movie. And yet the movie, as on a Boogaloo scale, I think it's going to do well here. I'm not sure, but I think so.
All right, are we ready to roll into things?
I'm happy to go to scoring.
Scoring.
All right, well, in our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each film in five categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
All right. I mean, I think that this is this has some schlock because it's incompetent and it's confused and it's a mess and there's so many different things going on and it's so many different storylines to different people. You know, we all got a different read on the movie. So I think for me that gives it some schlock, but at the same time I was bored out of my skull trying to watch it. So I can't go really high. So it's a 7.
Yeah, no, I hate to say this, but you're a genius. I'm going to disagree with it and just go with the 6. But exactly the same reasons.
Well, I mean, I thought the first half was slow as well. I mean, there's undoubtedly schlock on this thing. Yeah. Undoubtedly. Second half, when you start getting the monsters constantly, I loved. But the first half is really pretty damn slow. So I also had a 7 for this.
I think I was a little more entertained by the monsters. I also came across notes from when we were starting this show, and it actually is the definitions of what the categories are.
Oh, really?
Which I didn't know we wrote down anywhere. Schlock appeal, how the seemingly bad makes it better. General enjoyment because of what the film is. So rating on that, I'm going to say an 8. More heart than budget.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know a budget for this because $12 feels like, but no, I mean, the effects are are a lot good. Do you know
Jack,
about
did you find one?
No, and it's hard to find one when you have the two different
movies. Yeah,
yeah, the two different, like, what is it? When the financier pulled it because they spent all his money on special effects, and they needed more money to film either more special effects or to finish the movie, and you know, so he pulled it. So it's tough to know exactly what, and then you know he filmed the rest late months later. So
now. So yeah, for me in that regard, like, I mean, the actors, I mean, I don't care. They sleepwalk through the movie, and I don't necessarily feel like they're all in. But the special effects, when they're great, are amazing. So by that token, and the fact that somebody managed to take this other movie and still jam something with it and actually get it released, well, okay, I'll give you some points for that. So I'll go with an 8.
Yeah, I got to look up whoever did the special effects in there, because you got one guy in this movie just giving his all and everybody else phoning it in.
No, you got way more than so many people made movies or made these special effects. Some of them went on to fairly good careers.
Okay.
But it wasn't one person. It was a slew of people.
I should have said a department really, really.
Yeah.
Giving it his all. Because obviously, you know, the writers didn't, the actors didn't, the directors
were part of the special effects and part of the writing. So, I mean,
I
that's all their focus was.
Because, this movie has nothing but the special effects. So, you know, for the special effects, I'll give it a 6, but I can't go higher than that either.
Well, I mean, I got a 10 for this, because I think when you're talking about special effects in this budget, it's phenomenal. Like, I think for more heart than budget,
higher than a six, you need actors that don't look bored by what they're doing.
I don't think they were bored. I think they were just not very good actors. It was a showcase. It was for what it was. Like, the other part, I want to go down to 9, actually. I'm going to go down to a 9 because the other part was just filmed to put it together. But the main part of the movie, the main meat of this movie, that's the 10. Like, this is more special effects than any film we've done so far, right? It's more than Frankenhooker. What else? What else had that Mummy one had a lot of special effects that were way worse than this, even though they were CGI. Well,
I mean, Gutterballs is one that you talked about, of course, being a special effects calling card as well.
Well, and Gutterballs is special effects in the kills, but not special effects in almost. This one has more special effects of like monsters running around in makeup and just different things like that. Like, I think there's more special effects in this than anything. So I'm going to go with a 9, brought down by the fact that there's, you know, no money behind it. They're just filling it out for the, you know, around it. But yeah, I mean, that major part is effects laden and really impressive. Impressive.
Yeah, actually, I'm surprised no one actually picked up this movie just to cut out the special effects. Because, I mean, it could have been easily done.
Yeah, that's true.
Full Moon could have used every one of these effects.
There is an offhand reference in that Dissolve article to it, just quickly looking at it, it looks like they spent $300,000 when the plug got pulled. So the special effects part of it, they had spent $300,000.
Yeah, you're right. I think I remember reading that.
Those effects are great. I mean, it is a lot of little kid running around a graveyard wrapped around it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with an 8, though. All right. What the fuck moments?
All right. Well, there's the biggest one that I noticed was there was a point where they were in the basement. And these monsters just... Yeah, thank you.
And the monsters... This was the producer's idea, by the way.
Okay.
And the financier's executive producer's idea.
Great, great, great decision-making on all parts. So the monsters come out of the ground, and I'm like, thinking to myself, like...
Muckmen.
Wait, yeah, the Muckmen come out of the ground, and I'm like, are they flatulent monsters? Like...
I called them farting dirt monsters in my notes.
Yeah, because that's exactly right. It's like, it's just all farts, all monster, and I'm like, this is the weirdest thing in a weird movie. Like,
talk about if WTF is things thrown in just to throw them in, which is kind of the concept when we first started it. I don't know. You have them written down there. Wasn't that kind of
Blazing Saddles level fart?
Yes. Oh, yeah, they're all ripping one. You know, it's just, it's so unnecessary and so weird. So that
it could have been a nice touch if it was a little bit more subtle.
Oh, sure.
But totally not here.
So I guess, you know, if we talk about the perfect definition, well, that is the perfect definition of a what the fuck moment, just because it's unnecessary and weird. You know, like I can go back to the kid and I'm like, well, what the fuck does that story mean? But it doesn't have to mean anything because it just doesn't mean anything. There's other moments throughout the movie where it's kind of like, oh, what the fuck, that's a little weird. But that one stood out to me above all. I'll give it a 7.
That's one that I think will be, when we're referencing WTFs like years from now on this show, we'll bring up that as the, you know... It's going to be an iconic WTF.
Yeah. Stan, I think you got our favorite there. I salute you. You beat us all to it. This has a pretty good WTF factor, but for me, the second most moment was the motherfucking puppet.
Uh-huh.
What the hell is this thing doing in this movie?
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
We have one character who just pulls out a puppet and starts using it, and badly. It acts sort of badly, and it sort of acts sentient, and
it's a hand
puppet. No reason for it.
Yeah, it's not. He's not a ventriloquist. That's important to note.
Not at all.
He doesn't at any point try to not... You know, to keep his mouth closed and throw his voice. He's just got a hand puppet.
Yeah, and there's no explanation. I assumed he was an intelligent actor of some sort because the puppet was on his T-shirt as well.
Isn't it his own face on his T-shirt, too?
Yes, it's him holding the puppet.
Nice.
I didn't even notice that. That's amazing.
I didn't catch it was the puppet. That's awesome.
So... If there was any explanation, I would have accepted anything in the dialogue just to justify the puppet. It's not there. This movie, this guy just wanders around a puppet until he gets killed or sort of killed or whatever. I forget what he actually happens to it. It was not a memorable kill.
To be honest with you.
No. So, yeah. That's my WTF. I guess I have to give it a score, but the farting ups it huge. I'm going with an 8 on this one.
Oh, man. Those are the two standouts, but the movie has a bunch. I really like the ending as a WTF, the ending sequence. So you have this... So you have this storyline that they wrapped around it of this Crypt Creeper who's apparently wants to kill these people to siphon their life energy so he can bring his dead wife, who had committed suicide, I think, to get away from him back to life. And they got a kid. I don't know anything why, but anyway, so the wife apparently kills him, shoots him in the head, but of course he's like undead or something, so it doesn't really kill him, so he pops back up at the end. But so she runs away and you think she's running away and she's going to get away then because she's killed the bad guy, but zombies for no reason show up, and like many of them.
And
for probably 3 weeks I'm watching this final sequence. Like, talk about them sitting there going, fuck, how long is the movie now? 65 minutes. How many hours did we film of the zombies chasing her? Just fill in the time until we get to something reasonable. And it just goes on, and her clothes are being ripped off. And then she gets killed, and like I say, the Crypt Keeper falls up. So one storyline doesn't end. The other storyline ends in badly. Like, the bad guy wins. And there's one sequence in there where she runs away and she thinks she's away, and all of a sudden a bloody hand comes towards her and she turns towards it and she screams and she realizes there's more zombies around. She runs away, and they use the exact same shot, which is like a 10-second shot, twice in about 45 seconds, which is an incredible for something so distinct. I have an 8 on this too. I think the WTFs are strong with this one.
See, you missed my favorite part of that WTF. That whole scene is scored with rock music, which is why you were thinking Thriller. Because it did feel like the zombies were going to get up and dance
throughout
that entire scene.
For sure.
Probably were.
I would have laid that money might be up filmed until halfway through that very long sequence.
And if they had, then I would have given this movie 10s. Like,
that graveyard sequence is long. Oh, so long. To answer your earlier question, moments that are there for no reason, often not well thought out or planned, but are awesome.
Flatulent hot monsters. So, that's awesome.
Really, like a goodly part of this movie. A sizable chunk of this, I had no idea why they made any decision. There's a recurring bit where Crypt Keeper, that's a good way to call him, where Crypt Keeper has and his werecat, as you tell me, have chess set up. I'm trying to get my head around who he's playing chess. Who will he play chess with? So he's focused on this board of chess and using it as a metaphor for like cornering all these people and taking their life force. Halfway through the film, after he started killing them, he says, just like a game of chess, all the pieces are in place. I'm like, that's not how you play chess. No. And earlier he says, when all of the pawns have been sacrificed, we'll win our queen back. And I'm like, he definitely doesn't know how to play chess. Because that's not a thing. And so I'm going to go up to a 9 on this. Because I think every decision was
questionable.
Questionable is a good word. Yeah. Memorable moments.
Well, this is where I think the film is going to fall for me, because we talk about the, you know, largely what the fuck versus memorable moments. And I know that while I'll remember a flatulent muck monster, the rest of the movie is largely going to fade out for me, because I did find it pretty dull. And I think that there's so many points that are cobbled from other places, I'm more likely to remember the source than I am the actual Spookies movie. So I'm going to just go with a 3.
Yeah, I definitely see where you're going on that. There's a lot of awesome here. The spider monster, I love, but it's similar. We mentioned like 3 movies that had very similar scenes. I love the slug monsters, but is it that memorable? I've sort of seen that same thing in other things. So same with I can't go high on the, I don't think I'll remember this movie. I might attribute some scenes I've seen this into something else, but the fart monsters were funny, so I'll go a little higher. I'll go with a 4.
Oh, geez, I got an 8 on this. Those monsters, to me, I will absolutely remember this. I will sit there and think to myself, makeup and practical special effects from the 80s, this will be a movie that will be, to me, just, I will absolutely remember, especially for me, the Grim Reaper monster. And then there was also the monster with the tentacles and the electricity. Like, they were awesome, with the heart beating in the middle. Like, I'm absolutely going to remember these. As far as making these, not all the special effects were great, but a lot of them were. As far as making them memorable to me, it's totally succeeded.
I watched this movie this morning. I don't remember the tentacle monster.
I don't either. I watched it last week, and I'm like, no,
It chased her in the hallway. Wrapped the tentacles. Like, I should say, it's more like a. I don't know. It's tentacles come out and wrap around her, though. I wouldn't really call it like the tentacles are shown the whole time. But you must remember where they cut to the heart in the middle of the chest, and the chest is split open, and the heart's beating.
Nope.
And it's a very slimy monster.
Nope. I don't remember that at all.
Wish I'd seen that.
Honestly, yeah. This movie is not memorable for me. I guarantee it.
Wow. Okay.
That's not also not coming back for me. I'll be totally.
Where the hell did you watch this? Maybe you got it of it that.
Now. was yours 86 minutes instead of 84?
I'm going to send you guys a screenshot of it right
now. I, I believe that it's there. So I'm only going to go with a 4 as well. Because I totally believe that it is there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Our final category is called Crazy Concept.
I talked about the idea. We've talked about how it seems like Evil Dead. There's Night of the Living Dead. There's a lot of the creatures coming from other places. It's crazy in that you decided that this really stupid storyline of the boy is going to make perfect sense when added on to what has already been shot. So I don't really know exactly where to go. I'm going to go right down the middle with 5.
Taking two fairly generic plot lines and stuffing them together, I don't know how that rates. So yeah, I'll just take Stan's score and -1 just to be safe. 4.
And I got a 9.
You call that the Stan modifier.
I think this is insane. I think the idea of just making this movie with all these monsters, just throwing them into the screen constantly, and then somebody else pulling the money and filming other stuff around it, and the plots that he films around it. You say 2 plots. It's more like 7 or 8 plots that are thrown in the other in this. I think this movie's nuts. So I got a 9. The concept, if you really threw the concept out there and we broke it down and bothered to say it all, you'd go, yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yes, but at the core, that's where I feel it's not that crazy. Like when they went in, I don't agree.
I disagree. I think it's totally crazy. Right. And let's go back to that, to the WTFs, and that when none of us really did cover that 7-hour fight between the slug monster and the woman. It's epic.
That's a great fight. I did dig that. That was very violent. She gets like a chunk of her leg bit out. Yeah, super violence. I dug that scene. I'm going to split the difference and say 7. Now, each season we have 6 secret modifiers. This movie does not pick up any of them, but now this season we are invoking the will of the gods. We are rolling an 8-sided die, and if the unlucky number 8 comes up, the movie is punished. It's a 3. It's safe. This is the weirdest modifier.
It really is.
It suits this movie, then. And the season.
It's the weirdest damn modifier. All right. That puts us with a final total of a pretty respectable 67.5 out of 100, tying it with Jim Cotta and the Doll.
All right.
That's a pretty good score, then.
It is a good score. It's respectable score. It's an interesting movie. It's loaded with boogaloo. It's loaded with what the fucks. But it's one of those movies where you could go 10 years and be like, did I see that movie? And it's just so badly made and good. And so it's all over the place.
It's a combination of badly made and not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very strange movie. So definitely unlike anything we've kind of tackled before. Like, it has elements of things we've tackled before, but never thrown together in a stew pot like this. All right. Well, Jim, let's do some business.
All right. Well, you should visit WeTalkPodcasts.com. That is the home of the Octagon, where you can keep track of our search for the Ultimate B-Movie. Also, those folks have a Facebook and a Twitter. And you can also find us on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And please subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast app.
Okay. Well, Season 11, Enter the Octagon, continues next episode, where we have Nick's concept of animals wearing people clothes, which brings us our first fully animated movie in Food Fight. So I know that there's going to be a lot to talk about.
I think using the word fully is misleading, but okay.
Okay, animated. Yes, it is a movie with animation.
It is animated, yeah.
Yes,
yeah. I'll give you that.
Yes, so I know we're going to have a lot to talk about, so I believe that we should get off of this episode so that we can roll on to the next one. So, for Jim and for Jack... Oh, wait. Now you got something?
Yeah, just Look at the WhatsApp. There's the creature I'm talking about. I sent him to you guys. How do you forget this scene with the woman's face gets melted? And they bothered. They took the time to actually. They didn't have to. She could have just died. They took the time to dissolve her face with stop motion animation, which is incredible that they bothered to do that.
I remember now.
Yeah. Okay.
He looked like evil creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
I think it was the calling him the tentacle monster was what confused me.
Mm. You can see the tentacles around her.
I know. I get that he's got tentacles, but it's not like his defining feature. I mean, like melted Gilman, and I would have gotten it.
I still wouldn't have gotten there. So.
Stand
the heart
by
in his middle, the last shots, the heart in the middle of his chest. It was beating, but I can't put that in.
All right.
Anyways.
Congratulations. Okay.
Excellent. Thanks for sticking in, listeners.
So, for Jim and for Jack and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
That's weird. No name.
Happy birthday, Billy.
Come on, Megan, it's spooky as hell inside!